The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Hello and welcome back to the Benchwarmers. I'm Sonny and I'm here with...
Gabe. Hey, buddy.
Hey. So, we're back. Playoffs, first round. What'd you think?
A lot of thoughts. I kind of want to start with the Bengals and Raiders game, which to me was more entertaining than what I thought it would be. But the refs, like officiating, was probably not the best.
Questionable.
Yeah, there was a. I'm sure it's the one that the play that everyone's talking about where they blew the whistle, or they thought they didn't blow. I don't know. It was really confusing. But then when they played the replay, you could hear a whistle being blown.
Yeah,
and it was weird. And then the NFL was denying that anything wrong happened. And then they announced that after the game, the officiating crew would no longer be doing any more playoff games for the rest of the postseason. And I'm like, well, then that to me is an admission of guilt that they messed up, or they like really messed up the game.
Yeah.
I think at that point it was still pretty like close for the Raiders to win. Didn't help them, but
it was close at the end. I predicted a Raiders upset, which did not happen. I really thought they could pull it off and send it to overtime on the last play, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what do you think of this Raiders team? Like, should they have won this game, or were they kind of just like screwed over by the refs?
I don't think they were screwed over. I think they were outplayed. It probably didn't help, but I think they still would have lost. But man, it's close.
To me they did good considering we talked about this in past shows, but like all the adversity they faced, like with John Gruden, the two DUIs they had on the team, like they really shouldn't have been like even it shouldn't even have been a close match. Like the Bengals should have just like blown them out, but
yeah.
The Raiders kind of like stuck in there for a little bit, so that was cool to see. But I mean, overall for the weekend, I don't know if you saw this any, but there were, to me it was like a lot of blowouts. Like our team's just up big.
We had probably one of the best regular seasons we've had for a while now. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it feels like there's been a lot of really good games and the standings have been really, really close. But we haven't had Raiders and Raiders Bengals and Cowboys Niners were both within one score at the end. But if you were watching the game, Bengals were in control the whole game. They were in the driver's seat, and same thing with the Niners, and they kind of just let it get close at the very end.
Yeah.
But there's been no game that's been back and forth. I mean, Rams blew out the Cardinals, Tampa blew out the Eagles, Chiefs blew out the Steelers. I mean, it was all blowout. I mean, there was no back and forth game.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm hoping we see this weekend coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no real... I mean, the only thing that can compare really that was even sort of close or sort of back and forth, the end of the like quarter four of Niners and Cowboys kind of felt like...
But even
little,
still, like Cowboys never had the lead.
I know. They were like playing from behind the entire time. And then, I don't think I put it in the rundown, but it came out later that Zeke was playing with like an injury from week four.
Yeah. Weird.
So he wasn't even healthy for most of the season, which kind of explains why he didn't do too well in fantasy, but that's another story. This was the first year, I think, the first postseason where the NFL had, I think, an extra team or an extra spot in the...
No, last year. You remember...
Did they do it last year?
Yeah, seventh seed.
So last year was the first time they did it.
Yeah.
So this is the second year they do it.
All four seven seeds ever have lost because they're playing the second seed. And they've all been blowouts except for the very first one. Remember last year when the Colts with Phillip Rivers almost beat the Bills?
That's right.
That was a close game.
That's
other
right.
than that, they've been, you know, getting blown. I mean, like the Eagles getting blown out by Tampa.
Was
Steelers,
it,
Chiefs, like it's just...
Yeah. Was this the first year that they did a Monday night game? Like, aren't they usually all Saturday and Sunday?
I think this was the first Monday night game. Okay. I don't know if that has to do with Martin Luther King Day.
Maybe.
Or maybe the addition of another wild, you know, now it's super wild card.
I know. That. So I was researching that, and I was like, wait, this is, I've never heard it called this before. Like, are they just adding super to it and, like, trademarking it like they do with the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's just because there's extra games.
So it's going to be – what, are we going to have super divisional weekend?
No, I think it's just – but, you know, I think the Niners and Cowboys was definitely the most interesting game.
Yeah, interesting, but like, more boneheaded on, like, a Dak and the Cowboys offense. Like, I don't know what they
were
doing.
And Mike McCarthy was like, it was the right move after. And I was like, okay.
Clearly it wasn't.
It's like, let's see. Where were you? The 40-yard line? 30-yard line? You have 14 seconds left before he runs the ball.
Yeah.
You have options here. One, you can do Dak Prescott running. Why?
Yeah, because if he gets touched, which he did in bounds, the clock is just going to run, and they had no timeouts.
Yeah, it's like you either run it and you run 10 yards really quick in like 2-3 seconds, and then you slide somehow, you spike it. Good, great, you got 10 yards. Oh, you know, by surprise, you still have another 20 yards. My thought was like, you can easily run two plays before having to take an end zone shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very possible you just snap it, you throw a quick something to the sideline.
Run out of bounds.
You know, get something towards the sideline where they can get out of bounds, have 9 seconds to left, try something, you know, best case scenario, now you're at the 20-yard, 15-yard line, and you're out of bounds and you have 3 seconds left to run.
One more play.
To run something.
Yeah.
You know, worst case scenario, you don't complete anything, you have to, you know, do a Hail Mary from the 30-yard line. And it's like, even still is better than running out the clock. Like, at least you have a last play.
Yeah, the Niners kind of scare me. So the Niners are going to go on to play the Packers. And Debo, I had him on my fantasy team, and he was fun to have. But now that fantasy's over, and it's just like regular games, I'm kind of terrified of what Debo's going to do to the Packers.
I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that I think the Niners have a better shot of beating the Packers than most teams would, I think.
I don't think the Cowboys would have been able to beat.
I don't think the Cowboys would. I think the Niners are just the kind of team that can beat the Packers. But under more, like, further thought, it just seems too outrageous because Niners have one game plan. They're going to run it, and they're going to give it to Debo. That's all they're going to do. Now, unless you're the Rams for some reason, you can't seem to figure – it seems to get figured out. Now, either you can stop it or you can't. Cowboys couldn't stop it. Rams couldn't stop it. Packers, it seems like they got – it seems like they're pretty good at that kind of stuff. Also, Nick Bosa and Fred Warner are in question as they left the game early.
They got, I think, a concussion.
I think both of them did.
So, I mean, it doesn't look – most players don't clear concussion protocols within 1 week, and this is a Saturday game, so probably not going to clear.
Yeah, so if Nick Bosa and Fred Warner are not playing, who's to stop Aaron Rodgers, and who's going to stop Devontae Adams? You know, maybe the Niners get a couple of scores. I think if Raheem Mostert was playing, Elijah Mitchell's great, but if it, you know, for some reason Raheem Mostert seems to score 4 touchdowns and 300 yards against the Packers every game for some reason.
Yeah. The one thing about the Niners that kind of scares me is that so Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not really known for throwing long balls. Like that's usually not his go-to. He throws a lot of short little passes and he kind of relies on his pass catchers or running backs to get it and like do something with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he needs to do anything crazy for the Niners to win this game. I'm really like kind of concerned because the past couple of games they haven't really needed to use George Kittle that much. Like I'm used to like last season when or the seasons before when George Kittle would go crazy. They haven't really done that the last few games, so I'm wondering if they're just like not resting him, but they're kind of saving those plays for the Packers or for you know further down the road.
I'm just glad the Niners won so that the Rams don't have to play the Packers.
So you want the Rams to play the Bucs?
More than the Packers.
So let's get into that matchup because I guess we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but So, Sonny, you went to the game, the Rams game.
I did go to the Rams game. I got decent seats. They're pretty high up, which was, you know, gave us a good view. It was, you know, it was kind of a blowout immediately.
Yeah. Within the first quarter, you could tell it was rough.
Yeah, it was like we get there and it was cool to see that initial OBJ touchdown. You see that where he jumped up over him. It wasn't on our side, but it was like the first score of the game, and we didn't know it was going to be a blowout. And so we were like, oh, you know, it was really cool. And then also the Rams got it back later, and then they scored again with Stafford, I think. It was like questionable.
Yeah.
And then Kyler Murray threw the shortest pick six ever that wasn't caught in the end zone.
I don't know if you saw the replay of that, but that was one of the worst plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, I thought, oh yeah, they got him safety, and then he just scooped it and scored it.
He should have took the safety.
Yeah, but he's probably just thinking like, well, okay, we got to punt it from the 1 yard line.
The way he threw it though, like he had enough time to throw it away, like throw it out of the field.
Yeah, but he waited till he got halfway tackled, so he flipped it up in the air.
He was trying. I mean, so his playing style, and I mean, even I kind of compare it a little to Josh Allen, mm-hmm. like and even Joe Burrow kind of does this, where like it looks like they're about to run out of bounds, but then they just throw it down the field and it becomes a catch. Mm-hmm. Like I think Joe Burrow did that in the Raider game. Like he was like, what was that play that we were talking about where he was?
Yeah,
like,
he was about to run out of bounds and then he just flips it.
He just flips and it's like somehow still in bounds. And Josh Allen's really good at that. Joe Burrow's really good at that. But it seems like that's what he was trying to do. Like, he was trying to get out of the pocket.
He was trying to get to the sideline. Like, he was escaping, but somebody just grabbed him. And he was running away. They kind of just grabbed him. And then when they were tackling him, he kind of just flailed over and just flipped it up in the air, which is never a good idea.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining. And then after that, the Niners got a pick already up 21-0.
The Rams.
Yeah, and they got the ball at half while winning 21-0. So
yeah,
but
a good first game back for Eric Weddle.
Yes,
and a good first playoff win for Matthew Stafford
and Odell Beckham.
And is that true?
It's his first playoff win playing.
He didn't have any with the Giants.
Nope. And the Browns last year did win a playoff game, but he was not playing.
That's right. He was injured.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So. Yeah, that's both of their first playoff wins. So Tampa, and Tampa Bay. I've watched the last two times the Rams have played Tampa. One where
you guys beat them in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken.
We
right?
beat them in week five. It'll say we beat them by 10 points, but the Rams were up by like 17 the whole game, and then within like. A minute and a half, like Gronk scored a touchdown. But Rams were really up 17. Like, it was a closer game than the final score will tell you.
Yeah.
Despite 10 being a pretty good win against Brady. So, and then the season before that, without Stafford, Rams also beat Tampa in Tampa. I was in Florida for that, which is cool.
Should we get to some injuries and news before we get to some of the predictions for some of these games, but
all right.
I want to break them down, kind of like our thoughts and picks. We're going to go over spreads too and over-unders in case you guys are interested in that. But really quick, there's not many teams left now, so there's not many updates. One notable one for Packers, David Bakhtiari, he's still not practicing, which is kind of concerning because I don't know if he's going to come back this season. Like, he's trying to, but there's only a few games left. I'm like, what is he going to do? He's going to be really rusty. I'm like, I don't even know if it's a good idea to put him in there now, but he's still not cleared. All right, limited. We have, wide receiver Stanley Morgan from the Bengals, defensive tackle Josh Topu, defensive end Trey Hendrickson, all limited. On the Titans side, Derrick Henry, still not officially activated from the IR, but he practiced in pads today, Wednesday. And then, one more for the Packers, wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling and cornerback Jair Alexander, they were both limited in practice. All right, news. So, Sonny, I'll let you take the news right here, your favorite team.
So, Jacksonville, conducting They're conducting interviews with coaches, I guess. So a second interview with Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus.
Eberflus? I don't know how to say that.
Yeah. For their head coach vacancy, obviously Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Las Vegas fired general manager Mike Mayock. Kind of not surprised. It seems like people are calling.
Yeah. I think it's about time they cleared house because they got rid of John Gruden. They might as well just get rid of their GM now and start
over. Yeah. Actively interviewing head coach candidates, but have not fired pretty much the guy that's filled in for John Gruden.
Yeah. Rich Bisaccia. I don't know if you saw this, but
I think he's been doing a good job.
Considering everything that's happening, I think he's doing a great job.
I say keep him.
I'd say keep him for at least another year, but I don't know if you saw this. There was, I think it was Twitter or Instagram or something. They posted a picture. I guess he was like at the end of the season, he was in his hotel room after the game writing letters to each of the players, like thanking them for the season. Mm-hmm. Like he was writing handwritten letters to like everybody.
Wow.
And I was like, people were like, oh, like why do you have to like flex that you're doing that? Like why can't you just do it and like not say anything about it? But I was like, he didn't even take the picture. Like it could have been an assistant coach that was in the same room with them. And like, I don't know. They saw that and they just wanted to share it. Like what's so bad about, you know, a coach doing that and then like it gets posted on social. Like,
yeah, no.
He's still, it's not like he posted what he wrote in the letter to anybody. Mm-hmm. It just showed him writing letters. And I was like, that's kind of sweet. Like he actually cares about the team.
I think you take a team like the Raiders who haven't been to the playoffs, I think, in a while. Did they make it last year? No, they didn't make it. They I feel like they haven't been in the playoffs in a while. Take a team like this. You know, they get off to a fine start. They kind of have their ups and downs. I say wait another season. Raiders look promising. You know, maybe they get some pieces in 2-3 years. You know, maybe they're Super Bowl contenders at the moment. Definitely playoff contenders.
Yeah.
I think they just need to coach up the O-line.
Yeah. Their defense.
A lot of holding.
Their defense kind of got a little better this year, I will say.
Yeah, Max Crosby is.
He is like the heart of their defense.
Really good.
What do they call him? Mad Max?
Probably.
It's like his nickname. Yeah, he's a scary guy.
So I'd take, you know, I'd keep Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
And also, for players, you don't want them to have three different coaches in a year. That's stupid. Like
it's too much turnover and it's too much it's not consistent.
It's just you need to just keep this guy. Seems like he's doing a pretty good job. I mean, you know, obviously was their coach for half the season. They made the playoffs, so he's doing something right.
He already knows the team. He already knows like all the coaches, the coaching staff. Like he knows everybody there.
So New York Giants conducting also their second interview with Chiefs Executive Director of Player Personnel Ryan Poles and Bills Assistant General Manager Joe Schoen. And then Seahawks fired Defensive Coordinator Ken Norton Jr., who's still no news on Pete Carroll returning as head coach. I think Pete Carroll should probably stay. I mean, Russ goes down with an injury for more than half the season. They rush him back too early, obviously.
Remember that pin they took out of his finger?
Ugh.
Remember that? That was, yeah, that was not.
Think about it.
That's his throwing hand, too.
Pete Carroll has been with you guys for long. It's the first time you don't make the playoffs in 10 years, and that's, you know, coincidentally the season when Russell Wilson misses 10 games. Should have been out for like 12. I say it's just their best player gets injured. What are you going to do? You're in a tough division. You're not going to make the playoffs, unfortunately. I think they'll probably be back next year. I only say probably because, you know, competing with Niners, Cardinals, and Rams, three playoff teams, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, an insanely good division. Give it another year or two considering, you know, he's led you to two Super Bowls, won one of them. You know, this guy's pretty good at his job, I'd say. So
yeah, like looking at all the coaching openings up, like I think we went over them last week, like there's like eight different head coach positions that are open. If you were telling me that Pete Carroll was out there on the market and you were at one of these eight teams, you would love to have Pete Carroll head coach, right?
That's another thing I didn't even think of. But think of all the coaches on the market and then think of Pete Carroll.
He'd be number one on my list.
It's like all of them kind of suck. Brian Flores is a little better and Pete Carroll kind of is outmatching them. So think about that. Are you really going to fire Pete Carroll and get a downgrade? Like, the Seahawks seem like it's trying to save their team right now because they're kind of descending from where they've been a couple of years ago. You know, because a couple of years ago they're Super Bowl contenders. Now they're just playoff contenders. So, you know, getting rid of this coach that's been doing such a good job is not helping with the descent. You're going to try and hold on to this, you know.
At least for another year.
At least for another year.
Like, I think if you don't get in the playoffs next year with most of this team or setup that you had, then maybe you kind of sound the alarm and kind of get a little nervous and start blowing things up. But, yeah. I think if Russ was healthy, they might have squeaked into the playoffs. Even in this tough division, I think they still would have gotten the playoffs.
I think if they trade Russell Wilson, I think you get rid of Pete Carroll. Is what I think. Because if you get rid of Russell Wilson, who is the center point of your team, I think that kind of shows like a reset button. Yeah. You know, it's the end of this era. We're moving on to this now, whatever it is.
The thing with Russell Wilson is that I think he's at a point in his career where he's like at the very peak of like how good he can be.
Mm-hmm.
So like he has like the most value, like trade value right now. I think if you wait a few more years, that will diminish,
yeah,
and you won't get too much for him.
Yeah, see, Russell Wilson, you're right. He's probably at his prime, maybe like
– he's coming down, I think.
Yeah,
like
last 2 years have been his prime. He's kind of at the end of it. But when he made the Super Bowl, I don't think he was fully at his prime yet. He just had, you know, not to say he was carried by a good team. Obviously, he's very good. But the rest of his team was good. Pete Carroll was good, obviously. His receiving core was good, and he had the Legion of Boom, which is
right.
always going to help defense when you wins. Have a historically great defense. So keep, you know, don't sound the alarm. Also, I saw this live. Buda Baker, I think he was a Pro Bowl safety or was going to go to the Pro Bowl for the Cardinals. Also, he's the guy that got ran down by DK Metcalf.
Oh, okay. I remember that
that's,
guy, yeah.
That's how people kind of found out about him, unfortunately. Remained hospitalized overnight following a scary-looking head injury, which he was rolled out on a stretcher. I think Cam Akers ran into him. It was kind of – it looked like a helmet-to-helmet injury, but he was released this morning and is returning home. Yay. Just looks like a bad head injury, but, you know, he should be fine for next season.
Nice. All right. Should we get to next week's games?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to start in order. The lines I'm looking at, these are from DraftKings. These are from Wednesday, so they might change. They might shift depending on how people are betting. But so Bengals, first game on Saturday. Bengals versus Titans. The spread is +3 for the Bengals, -3 for the Titans. And the over-under is 47. Sonny, thoughts on this game? And I guess I want to hear more of your thoughts on the Titans because I feel like people don't give them respect. Like
okay.
people don't think they're good. And they're winning all these games without Derrick Henry.
Let me tell you about the Titans. I think Titans win this. I think they cover the 3.5 spread. Over under 47, that's a bit more tricky. I am not really good at these. I always, whenever I do bet, I just am like, oh, the over, because you want to root for points, but then it never really happens. Okay. I think Titans, I'm not going to not give them their respect, but if you take Titans and Bills, I take Bills, and if you take Titans and Chiefs, I take Chiefs. I think they are better than the Bengals, but I think when they win and they play whoever wins between the Bills and Chiefs, they're going to lose. They're going to win this round, but they're an AFC championship exit. Derrick Henry is not officially activated, but it's kind of looking like he's going to return, so keep your eye out. I bet you right when we get home, we're going to get a thing like Derrick Henry officially activated.
Yeah.
Always happens.
So I'm wondering if – so like it's going to be – tomorrow's Thursday. We're already getting close to the end of the week. A lot of teams, you know, they do walkthroughs on Friday, or Friday is like their travel day or whatever. If we don't get an activation notification for Derrick Henry, that tells me that the Titans don't want to rush him and they're confident with the team that they have now.
Well, the team they have now is good. And I don't think the team with the Titans without Derrick Henry is a number one seed. I don't think the team with Derrick Henry is a number one seed. But they're still good, and I still think they're beating the Bengals kind of material. So it is interesting to think, though, like their best player who is MVP caliber, and they're like, you know what, we're in a playoff game, but we don't need to rush him back. That is an interesting thought.
Like, that just shows how confident, right? Because so the guy they have now, the main guy, is Deonta Foreman.
He's pretty good.
He rushed, so this is against the Texans, which was kind of like a weird game, but he rushed 21 times. And then the backup running back is Dontrell Hilliard. He rushed 9 times. So they're
30 rushes?
So 30 rushes total for the whole game. That's a lot. So they really like to run the ball.
Well, I thought it was just like, hey, we have Derrick Henry. You know, we might as well. But I guess that's their whole game plan.
Yeah, like
when's Ryan Tannehill?
Ryan Tannehill, so he had 23 completions out of 32 attempts. So he threw quite a bit in that game.
All right.
He had 4 touchdowns, too. He had 287
yards. What is that? That's 75% completion rate?
About, yeah. So he's doing all right. He's getting the job done. I'm just trying to think, like, so you're taking Titans -3, so we're pretty confident that the Titans are going to be able to beat the
yes,
Bengals.
Especially if Derrick Henry. I mean, I don't see Cincinnati having any really solution for Derrick Henry. They don't have like that guy, I feel like.
You're not that guy.
Although something I noticed in I always like to notice really fast players. Like, you know, guys that are just super fast. I don't know his first name, but his last name is Hilton. He's on the Bengals, and I think he's a corner. Josh Jacobs, when they played the Raiders, broke out. He was like a 35-yard run. I mean, you can look it up. But he comes out of frame and tackles him, which I always find it impressive. Like Daryl Green, I think is his name. He got like rated the fastest player in NFL history. He's on the Redskins. And
Washington football team?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm not going to dead name them, but technically the Redskins. Like, he was just known for coming out of frame and running people down, and it kind of reminded me of that. Like, I saw it in the moment, and I was like, oh. I was like, this guy's quick.
It's kind of like what Tyreek Hill does to other wide receivers that catch the ball. Like, he just catches up with you and then runs
into the end zone. He's like, hey, look, it's me too. But he does that and he tackles people. Now, yeah. Probably not going to tackle Derrick Henry, as Derrick Henry is enormous. You know, there was something came out, Derrick Henry and Donald Trump have the same dimensions. They're both like 6'3 and 260 pounds. And one's like, wow, look at this like freak of nature. Oh, look at this overweight dude.
Well, that's because Derrick Henry's he's just all muscle. Like he's a big dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy thinking about, because I remember when 2-3 years ago when Dylan was frustrated with Derrick Henry in football. And he was like, I don't get it, Derrick Henry. You're huge and you're way faster than everybody. Like, why can't you just score? And then now he's King Henry.
Right.
It's just funny to think about. So if he comes back, definitely Titans. If he doesn't come back, Titans.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, if you're going to actually bet this game and you're I think I'm leaning with you, Sonny. I'm pretty confident that Titans will just put away the Bengals. For me, it's one, the team overall. I think Ryan Tannehill, their coach, Vrabel, like they have more playoff experience than Joe Burrow and that team.
Oh, for sure.
Like this is the farthest the Bengals have got. I'm not saying they're not good. Like Joe Burrow is very, very good. Probably a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
But Ryan Tannehill, he has so many weapons around him, and he's kind of come through in moments that he needed to come through it. So, you know, I know years ago Titans had Marcus Mariota. They were never able to do much in the playoffs. I think Tannehill is kind of, you know, Titan, I don't know if you remember this, but Titans had this big push last offseason.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were just beating teams that they were not supposed to beat. I think we're going to kind of see some of that. And now that they have the one seed, the extra rest is going to help. So
it's true.
If Derrick Henry does get activated before this game happens, I think the line is going to move a lot. It's going to be like, I don't know, plus or minus 5.
Yeah.
Maybe minus
probably.
4. Like it's going to shift against you. So if you think Derrick Henry might be activated, go ahead and bet it now. If not, then go ahead and wait till the start of the game and then take the points with the Bengals if you want. All right. So let's go to the next one, Sonny. So we got 49ers, Bald Brian's team, against my Packers.
He's a Niners fan?
He's a Niners fan, yeah. He's like all – he's a big – I don't know if he was like raised in San Francisco, but he's a Giants for baseball and 49ers.
Oh, so he's a San Francisco.
He's just a San Francisco guy, yeah.
All righty. Plus or minus – Packers. Yeah.
So plus six for the 49ers, over under is 47. It's kind of a big number for me.
Six?
Like it's almost a touchdown.
On one hand, I see the Niners keeping it real close and maybe even winning, but probably not. And on the other hand, I see Aaron Rodgers kind of picking them apart and winning by 17. So, but I think either way, it's quite in the realm of possibility that the Packers win by a touchdown. So I'll go, Packers plus six or minus six.
So these two teams met in the regular season. Do you remember the score of this game?
I'm trying to think of one that that's right. Was it in San Francisco?
Yep.
And Rodgers, they left Rodgers with like 45 seconds or something like that, and it was too much time.
Yeah, it was that game where I think they left them like over 40 seconds, and it was like, oh, we won, and then he just comes down the field and destroys them.
I remember that.
They won that game 30-20. I think the Packers just kicked a field goal to win it or something.
Too much time for A-Rod.
Yeah. This was a game where Mason Crosby, the kicker, he had three field goals. His longest was 54 yards. I think that was like the last. He just kicked it from like half.
Yeah,
half
but I don't know. I don't know about this Mason Crosby anymore. He kind of seems
he's missed a lot. He's had an up and down season for sure. Like this is our like kind of like fall last playoff season. But like instead of going for it, we just try to kick it. And I'm like, we're relying too much on Mason Crosby, who's not that accurate.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
Like you have one of the best quarterbacks. Like just go for it.
In my opinion, you have second best wide receiver in the league. Let's be real here. This season, Cooper Kupp takes it.
Oh, for sure.
The Cooper triple crown.
Yeah.
But when you go off of talent, and I think Cooper Kupp not only works in the Rams, but like if he was anywhere else, he wouldn't be, Cooper Kupp. He would be Cooper Kupp last season, but he's not like the triple crown kind of receiver anywhere else because they use him perfectly. I don't think anywhere else could figure him out that well.
He's a Megatron 2.0.
Well, let's not compare. I wish, but
he's kind of like that with Matt Stafford. I mean, look how good Matt Stafford is giving him the ball.
Yeah,
I'm like,
But also, like, look at this is why Calvin Johnson was like my favorite player for a long time. It's just because he's just so like it's cool to see players where, and it's rare also when you just like. You watch them play and you just look at their opponents and you're like, they're royally, like they're outmatched. Like it's just like a very ominous, outmatched, there's not many players like that in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Chiefs felt like that for a long time. They don't feel like that anymore. But for their first 3 years.
They felt like they were like gods.
They felt ominous. Like they just felt like it was inevitable. Like it's coming. Like the Chiefs are going to get to you and they're going to beat you.
Right.
They don't really feel like that anymore. But I'll get to that. Davante Adams is probably the most talented wide receiver in the league. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. And I don't like that one person that gets an official MVP vote that says they're not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers because he feels like the villain of the league.
I'm like, I think Aaron Rodgers called him a bum, but it's like, it's stuff like that. It's like, dude, I get it. You're supposed to vote, but it's not like you're voting on the person's character or who the person is. You're literally voting for someone and their stats.
That's the thing. And like someone else like didn't vote for Giannis or they voted for LeBron because he has the better backstory or something. And I also thought that was stupid because I was like, you could argue that Giannis had a tougher time. They both grew up dirt poor and stuff.
Right.
But like LeBron grew up in Cleveland. Giannis grew up in Greece. It's a lot harder to grow up dirt poor in a third world country and get to the NBA.
Yeah, and then make it in the NBA.
I get Cleveland's, kind of a third world country, but it's still in America.
We're going to get so much hate for that from all the Browns fans and all the Cavaliers fans.
Listen, blame my mom. I've never been to Cleveland, and she's always like, oh, Cleveland, because she grew up there.
Oh, really?
And then whenever I bag on Cleveland, she's like, eh, don't talk bad about Cleveland. It's great there. And then whenever someone else talks about it, she's like, ugh.
I guess because we can't talk because we're not from there. We're not.
No, I've never been. But
I've never been either.
What I hear, it's like a third world country. So anyway, I think people not voting or voting for players just because of their character or because is just stupid. Rodgers is the MVP. Give him his credit. Probably the most talented quarterback of all time. You know, maybe he's not the GOAT, but just like watching him play. Him and like unfortunately Michael Vick. Because Michael Vick was super talented running, and he also had a big arm.
Yeah, he was kind of the first player like Michael Vick was kind of like the first player like that to really. I mean, I know there's been a lot of running quarterbacks, but he was one of the first to like really just make that like the heart and soul of the offense. Now, yeah. Like Lamar Jackson's doing it, and we're seeing all the success that he has. But I feel like Vick was like he kind of laid out like the blueprints a little bit.
So Rodgers, super talented, Devontae Adams. Super talented. I think they just beat the Niners. I think that's just how.
Yeah. One thing that I was gonna also like, so I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna bet this game. If I do, it'll probably just be whatever the money line is, which is probably not that great. But I think it's gonna be a close game.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing to factor in if you are gonna bet this game is that look, the Niners, they played the Rams in Week 18. That was a really hard game. They almost lost.
The Niners.
Yeah. And then in, you know, the first week of playoffs, they play the Cowboys, which I guess it wasn't as close of a game, but it's still another game that they had to prepare for and play. So that's two games that, to me, it's like the Packers, they kind of chilled Week 18 against the Lions. They let the Lions beat them. They could have probably won that game if they tried.
Definitely. As far as starters for the Packers go, they've had 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Rodgers even suited up for the Lions, and neither did the rest of the full starting team.
I think he played a little bit just to like keep his whatever
his mojo
going. But he, let's see, I'm gonna look it up really quick.
I wouldn't even bother.
I would have just rested him. So let's see, Rodgers had 14 completions, and they gave they let Jordan Love go out there for 10 completions, 17 attempts. So they kind of split their time with both quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. They didn't even – oh, Devontae Adams only had 6 receptions. So I think they just gave the starters like half the game, then they rested them.
Yeah.
That's probably why they lost. So the Packers like have had maybe a game and a half to rest.
Okay.
Like a week – yeah, like a week and a half. Rest pretty much. So I don't know. Like I think they're the fresher team. I'm hoping the defense comes through. I think that's where it's really going to come down to is getting to Jimmy. And I don't know. Like Jimmy Garoppolo is not the best quarterback, but
they know how to use him. They exactly.
Like he's kind of like a game manager. Like he'll do enough to just help you win. And then like their wide receivers, their running backs, like they're all really talented.
And best case scenario kind of happened for the Niners where they have the two best yards after catch players in the league being Debo and George Kittle.
Yep.
So you got this guy who is good at handing off the ball to Elijah Mitchell or Raheem Mostert when he's healthy.
Right.
Fastest running back in the league. Or you got a guy that, you know, that you got a good coach that knows how to get Debo and George Kittle open, and you got a guy that can get it to them 5 or 10 yards, and then they're the guys to get an extra 12 after catching it. The Niners have so many running backs, though. You got to be.
They definitely like. And they even use some of their wide receivers like running backs.
How much do you want to bet that the Rams lose this weekend?
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
How much do you want to bet? I'll give you odds 2-1.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh. I'll take Rams $20.
$20?
Just straight up win?
Mm-hmm.
What's the line?
I'll tell you right now. See here. Oh, we just pulled it up. Sorry. It is +3 for the Rams.
I'll give you 2-1 on the line.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Money 2-1 outright winner, $20. Make it 25.
Okay.
Rams suck. You're going to find out this weekend. You know what?
Hmm.
Do you agree with me?
I think the Rams kind of figured it out.
Oh, last question, then I'll leave. You know, I just miss the pod so much. You know what I mean? Where are you guys drafting Cam Akers next year?
Oh.
Looks pretty fucking good.
He's good, but they still have Sony. They're not. Sony's going to stay for another year.
Yeah, but Sony's not good.
He's pretty. They're. He had less attempts, but he had more rushing yards than Cam Akers. But it was also a blowout, so I don't know.
Sony sucks. So do you take Mike Davis or Cam Akers?
I don't like Mike Davis's team. Cam Akers for sure.
Cam Akers.
You know, people really shit on Mike Davis. He wasn't that bad.
It's not a bad team.
He was on a bad team, and he was chunking away 8 to 11 points and, pretty much every week. And
Cordell
standard.
Patterson.
And we had Cordell Patterson, which was the greatest trade in our league.
I wish I would have kept him.
Of course you do.
I traded him, I was like, he would have been cool just to have on the team.
You would have won the league.
I probably would have watched more Falcon games.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to do that.
I'll see you later, man.
All right. See you later. On Saturday, right? You'll owe me $50 soon?
That's just a fact.
We're back.
Yes. Yeah, so overall, I think the minus six or plus six for the 49ers and Green Bay game, I think it's a little much.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just look at the over-under, and for me, I'm going to go over 47. I like that just because, look, this is if the Packers are going to win, I feel it's going to be a statement win, and they're going to want to just put up as many points as they can.
Yeah,
and revenge. I think Packers winning this will kind of cement that Rodgers is the MVP, and then it'll just this will definitely be a statement game. So yeah, we'll see. It'll be a good win if they do get it. But I can totally see the Niners like somehow figuring this out and winning.
Yeah.
Which would be really deflating because like then it's like people are like saying like, oh, Rodgers always loses in the playoffs. If he can't put away this 49ers team, I think it's kind of true. Like he kind of does choke in the playoffs, but we'll see if he can break this curse. Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon.
Rams and Bucks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, it's in Tampa. I'm taking my Rams, as you're saying. I'll take 2-1 odds.
Walk me through. What do the Rams need to do to win this game? Like, what do they need to prevent Tom Brady from doing?
Lighting them up. I mean, long as – okay.
Like, this Buccaneers team is a lot different than last year, even though they brought everybody back.
What you need to do to beat Tom Brady is just to get to him. And that means, you know, they just need to put a lot of pressure. I mean, just – they need to pressure the quarterback because Brady's immobile. And once you pressure him a good amount, he's not going to fall apart because he's Brady. But it slows him down significantly if you can get to him a lot. The O-line hasn't been as good as it's been for Tampa. I think if the Rams can have a good day, then I think they can get to Brady, then I think that's what they need to win. Also, Stafford, please don't throw two picks, you know, because he did throw a lot of picks over the season. But, yeah, they're just Aaron Donald needs to get to him. Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown are not playing, so it's a lot easier for Ramsey just to shut down one guy,
yeah,
like Mike Evans, which is very helpful. And I'm also a little concerned about the run game, but I don't think they're going to break out any big runs. I think it's just going to be like Leonard Fournette's going to be converting like third and twos, unfortunately, which is going to be frustrating. But I think long as Aaron Donald, the rest of the D-line can put a lot of pressure on Brady, I think they'll have this game.
Yeah. The Bucs aren't as healthy as they've been throughout this. Like they're kind of banged up. And then, yeah, like you said, being down Antonio Brown and Godwin is not helping. They still have Mike Evans and Gronk over there, but it's definitely – and then I think Fournette is still out too. So they're using Ronald Jones, who is – he's okay. He's an okay running back. He's not as good as Fournette, but They're definitely like a week. I feel like a weekend team, and I think the Rams can put them away. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. It's going to come. I mean, the defense is going to play a big role for the Rams, but you know, Matt Stafford not doing dumb things and throwing the turning the ball over is really going to help.
Yes,
like it's. I don't know. Like I think I messaged you during the week or something, but I was saying like I like the Rams are utilizing like Odell Beckham and like some trick plays. Like he does that.
Also, like, the secondary for Tampa is a little down right now.
Yeah.
You know, Odell, Cooper Kupp can kind of if that, you know, then get that going, then I think definitely.
I think a lot of people are forgetting now what's his name. I don't know if he had as big of a role. Van Jefferson's still there.
He had like two pretty good catches.
But Higbee.
Oh, yeah.
Higbee's a beast.
Higbee's good. And then I remember like Higbee got caught a couple of catches and they're like, Higbee's doing great. And they showed him on the screen and stuff. And then, like, right after that, yeah, he was, like, dancing and stuff. And then right after that, he just had a very easy, catchable ball dropped, which he does once a game, so long as that doesn't lead to being picked off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Rams have enough to win this game. But, yeah, turnovers are going to be a huge thing. Matt Stafford's got to have a good game.
Yeah.
All right. So, with that, how do you feel about the spread? +3 Rams?
Or are you, yes. Okay. Rams – yes.
This is so close that I feel like the line is going to go closer to the Bucks. It might go to 3.5 or 4 just because people like betting on Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. People are going to continue to bet on Tom Brady until he loses.
Okay, well, think about it. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick lost in the same week.
It's big. It's big.
Brady.
Time for Brady to go.
Let's retire him. Bills Chiefs. This should be a good game. This happened last year, and I had Bills to win, and I was sorely mistaken.
What do you remember? This is a blowout. If I don't remember right,
it was.
See, Chiefs versus Bills, 2020. Is that 20? Playoffs
or 2021? Technically, I guess.
Let me see here. Yeah, I remember the Chiefs just like destroying them.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the AFC Championship. So it was 38 Chiefs, 24 Bills.
Closer than it led on, I feel like the Chiefs were pretty dominant.
The Chiefs put up 21 points in the second quarter. 21 points.
Yeah, that's the thing is that the Chiefs, they'll do that. They'll do that sometimes. Sometimes, you know.
They didn't put up any points in the first quarter.
Well, they'll also do that sometimes, which is concerning, is that they won't do anything and then they'll just decide to throw 3 80-yard bombs to Tyreek Hill in a row.
And they'll catch all of them.
Yeah, and he'll catch – of course he will because he runs at, you know, 25 miles an hour or something.
So what has really changed for the Bills other than
– they've gotten better, I think.
But their defense, their offense, like what has gotten better?
I think they've just gotten better as a team. I mean, I can't really like, you know, say like, oh, I think this player has really like, you know, improved that much. I think they've just gotten like a better team all around. I can't – it just feels like they're better. I think they're more like – more chemistry, maybe they've added some pieces that I just don't know about, but they just feel like a more complete team.
I think, to me, like Josh Allen has taken steps forward. Like he's definitely maturing as a franchise quarterback, so that's helping. He does have playoff experience from last year and playing against the Chiefs. I know they did lose last year, but, I mean, you're still getting experience playing against this team. And I don't know what it is, but you touched on this earlier that the Chiefs, they used to be like this like untouchable team where like you know, they could just turn it on and then like smoke.
They only lost they only didn't go to the Super Bowl in their first year because one of their players' finger was in the neutral zone infraction.
Yeah.
Against the Patriots with Brady. Like okay. Other than that, they've been in the Super Bowl every time.
I don't know, like it just feels like the Chiefs are still good. Like don't get me wrong, the Chiefs are still, you know, one of the Super Bowl favorites to win this year, but they just don't seem as like, it's like, you know, it's like an armor or something. It's like, there's kind of like a crack in their armor a little bit. Like they're still good. It's still a really strong armor. They're still really great, but it just feels like they're kind of slowly not fading away, but people are figuring them out a little bit or they're figuring out how to beat them.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope the Bills win. I really do. But I think the Chiefs win. And, but, you know, Diggs has been looking forward to this matchup. You remember last year when He was on the field while they were celebrating, yeah.
He stood there and watched the Chiefs get their AFC championship.
So he's been waiting for it. I'm rooting for him, but I don't think it's going to happen. It will be interesting to see if my predictions are correct, which not that good so far. Titans and Chiefs. Chiefs don't have any run defense, and the Titans are Derrick Henry, give him the ball 45 times. So, you know, we'll see. Should be interesting. I still think the Chiefs win, but it will be.
What do you think about this spread, though? +1.5. That's like almost a pick 'em for me. Like if you're gonna look at the spread, you might as well
just take the money line.
Just take the money line if you think the Bills even have a chance at winning this. Mm-hmm. But I'm really torn, and I want to pick the Bills. Like my heart says, I want the Bills to win because I like seeing new blood, new team, new faces mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Like I love to see the underdogs win.
But then also just something at the back of my mind is just like, don't overthink it. Chiefs are Chiefs.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean either way, I don't know if I'm gonna actually. I mean, we'll see if I bet on it. But this is gonna be like, I'm glad that this is the Sunday night game. Like I'm glad that we're ending the week with this.
It should be a good game.
Like, I mean, the only game I wouldn't really want to see for Sunday night is probably Bengals and Titans, just because I'm not a huge – I mean, the Bengals are fun to watch. The Titans are kind of fun to watch, but they're, like, two of the least – like the Titans aren't very flashy.
Mm-hmm.
They just beat you with a run, then they kind of chip away at the clock, and they're more of, like, a defensive – you know, that's just how they win.
Yeah.
Not very flashy. Like, to me, Bills and Chiefs is probably the most flashiest matchup on paper you could have right now.
Oh, for sure. Because their offenses are both, you know – great.
Like, they have the highest over-under, 54.5 points.
Yeah, everything is 47, 47, 48.5,
yeah.
55, 54.5, which might probably go up.
Yeah, I can easily see one of these sides scoring 30-plus points. Easily.
Easily.
Like, or maybe even both getting close to 30 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if I had to take a side, I'm probably going to do... Man, I really want to... Okay, you know what? I need to stop voting with my heart and just vote my brain. I'm going to say Chiefs -1.5, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah, but definitely taking the over in this game, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll see what happens with all those games. And then, like, I don't think we're going to have time for... Well, we don't have enough for a Patreon, but one thing that I did do this week was I went to Disneyland and, you know, took your advice... Went to Rise of the Resistance. So that was the first thing me and my wife did. We went straight to the Star... What is the Star Wars area called?
Oh, Galaxy's Edge.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay, How long was the line?
So we get there. We're like, we rush straight there. We had breakfast on the way. And we get in. And then we see all these people waiting outside. And we're like, oh, what's going on? The ride was down. So the ride hadn't been on all morning. Oh. And there was literally just like... bunches of people waiting outside for the ride. Like they and then we asked the guy, like, oh, when are you guys gonna open the ride? And they're like, we have no idea. The ride, we can't even get it to go right now. So it could be an hour, it could be 4 hours. And I was like, I told my wife, like, we're not waiting here for hours. Like, we're gonna go do other stuff. Well,
yeah.
Like, we have better things to do. So we went on the Millennium Falcon, Smugglers, whatever.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Uh-huh.
We went on a single rider, and then we got sat next to each other.
Oh,
which was even better. So we only waited 10 minutes for that ride.
For which one?
The Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
And then we got food. We got like a little, like, it was like a pita wrap. I forgot what it was called, but it was like...
Was it in Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, it was in Galaxy's Edge. It was like one of those... I forgot what it was called, but it was good. It was like a wrap. We split that, and then we got like some other little snack. But that whole area, like, it's like a little alley area where there's like a bunch of little shops and like little things to eat. Like, that whole area is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, they designed that land like probably the best in the park.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much detail. Like, everything just looks cool there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
We went to it's called Olga's Cantina.
Yeah.
Not Olga, but Olga, O-G-A.
Uh-huh.
And they have this drink there. It's called a fuzzy tanton. And it's like made with a plant. And it's like foamy on the top. And then it's like, it's an alcoholic drink, but it's like foamy. And then there's like the drink on the bottom of the glass. But to get to the drink, you have to like get through the foam. And the foam like numbs your mouth.
Ugh.
It was really weird.
It was
really weird. I have to look up what it was. But a couple buddies of mine, they're like, oh, yeah, make sure you try that drink. And by the way, drinks at Disney, like alcoholic drinks at Disneyland, very expensive.
I would think so.
It was almost like $20 for like one drink.
My smart water was $9.50.
Those Cokes, those little grenade Cokes that you were telling me that you're
were they expensive? I don't remember.
I want to say they're like $8 or $9. And it's not even that much liquid. It's literally just
They're small. It's but like the theming.
It's like the can. It's like a can of Coke or a can of Sprite, like a little can, not a big bottle.
Not
whatever.
Like a mini one.
No, but I mean, it is a cool. It is a cool little like
drink.
Yeah, it's like a little grenade. And then I wanted to look at all the shops. They had like a little store to like build your own droid, build your own lightsaber. Like
I did the build your own lightsaber.
You did? Those are expensive.
2 or 3 years ago. Yeah,
those are so expensive.
We paid ahead of time.
Okay, I was like, I mean, it's cool though. Like they don't rush you. It looks like they help you like with everything, put it together, and then,
like Yoda talks to you and stuff. And,
yeah, like it's a whole like experience. I don't know. I thought that was. I didn't do it, of course. It was, you know, it's a lot of money.
But, yeah, I remember. It was a lot.
But that was cool. Chewbacca is out by the Millennium Falcon a lot, like waving at people.
Oh, was he? I don't remember.
He was out there. Like there was a lot of like cameos of characters just like walking around.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stormtroopers just out and about everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And then we finally went back. So we saw people running when we were eating to Rise of the Resistance. So we like ate, we finished really fast, and then we just started running over there too, and they were letting people in.
Mm-hmm.
And like the app didn't even update on their thing.
Mm.
So we got in. It was like a 50-minute wait.
50?
50. 50. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
That was really good. That
was our longest wait too of the day, which I thought was like.
We waited like. Okay. 2 hours. Oh my god! Like
but the ride. So I thank you for not spoiling it. But the ride is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a whole story and stuff.
Yeah, it's very interactive, and even the process. Like I remember you were telling me, like, oh, you're gonna wait and wait, and then you're gonna go down a hall, and then you're like, oh, it's the next room, and then it's like another room. And wait.
Yeah.
Like, there was probably like 5 or 6 of those.
Yeah.
Like little rooms where they zigzag you in a little like room, and you basically are like, oh cool, like here's another hallway or here's another room, and you're like, this is it, and then it's another room.
I remember we were looking at the app and we were like still outside, and we were like, oh, we're at the waterfall, like we're gonna be in like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and then we just
the waterfall's not even like the halfway point.
No.
But no, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but the like when you finally get in and there's like a whole bunch of stormtroopers in there, and then you go in and like you're waiting, and just like that whole process of getting transported to that area, like you're a prisoner, your ship's been taken. Like that was cool.
That was really cool. Like, I wasn't expecting the drop at the end when you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I was just like, oh yeah, we're doing, and then it just dropped.
Yeah. It was just cool. Like they definitely utilized that little cart that you're on. They made it move a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When we went up, I was thinking like, oh, we're going to come down at some point. But I thought it was going to be like a smooth transition.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that drop, like, you know, when you do like drop rise and you like kind of prepare yourself a little bit, like you kind of like, you at least try to hold on.
Yeah.
Like I didn't do that. I was like, I had my hands up here. So I was just like, oh my gosh.
I
like,
remember when I went with Olga and Natalia and Emmy and Paola, I talked Emmy into doing the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Oh, really?
Which was, yeah, that's the drop ride. Which
Oh, yeah.
Really fun.
Nice.
Did you do that one?
No, man. So my friend, he signed us in. It was just for the Disneyland park.
Oh,
so it was just
okay.
For one part, but it was for free. So I was like, I wasn't really complaining.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been so long since we were there. We tried to hit all the classic rides. Indiana Jones was down, which kind of sucked.
The whole day?
It was the whole day. It was down. Man. Yeah. Pirates was working. Haunted Mansion was down. Splash Mountain's down. Like they're redoing it.
Yeah, they're making it Princess and Frog.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. They still had a lot of like Christmas decorations up. Like a lot of them were down, but on some of the displays that were still
up. The Haunted Mansion still had them, I
think. Yeah, Haunted Mansion still had it up there. Trying to think of what else we went on. Oh, I don't know. Have you ever gone on Astro Blaster, the Buzz Lightyear one where you shoot?
No.
Oh man, you got to go on that. But I basically found out like how to get a high score in there.
Oh well, there you go.
Yeah, but that I finally beat my wife always beat me, and I finally beat her. I was like, yes, I've mastered this. I don't know. It didn't feel very packed. Like I was telling you, the longest wait time was 50 minutes, which was not bad for Disneyland. But I don't know. It was cool. Like it was my first time being there for a full day, and I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, my feet
were
tired.
Tiring.
I remember like driving home, like before we started driving, I just took my shoes off and drove like barefoot because I was like, my feet just hurt so much. I was like, yeah, I can't drive with shoes.
Yeah.
But no, it was cool. Like it made me want to get a pass because I live like 15 minutes away or 15, 20 minutes away. But
yeah,
we'll see. Well, maybe after, we're trying to go to Italy. So, you know, visit the Familia.
Yeah, Familia.
Yeah, I got to visit my, no, I don't have any, I wish I did, but.
Speaking of Familia, something my dad told me, he knows Chris Morgan, the main writer of Fast and Furious. He didn't work on 9 and he's not working on them anymore.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 was the most recent one. And 9 kind of sucked even compared to the other ones. So it's like, looks like this is going a little downhill.
They're doing another one, right?
Probably. They're going to be like, hey.
Maybe get him back.
They're like, Vin Diesel and John Cena also have another brother that you haven't heard about yet that wasn't in the backstory of the other one, and this time they go to Mars.
Like, there's nothing else for them to do. Like, go to a different dimension?
I remember I had seen the 6th and the 7th and the 8th one before I saw the first one. I kind of watched them backwards in a way.
Okay.
So when I saw the first one, I was like, what is this? I was like, why is The Rock not here? Why are they not in tanks? Why are they not doing cars jumping through buildings in Dubai? And so I was like, they're just on the street. Drag race. Yeah. I was like, that's it? They're fighting this Asian gang or something? Like, I was like, what is this?
I feel like they had to keep taking it up a notch every single movie. So if you go backwards, it's just like,
now it's unrecognizable from the first one. It's like, they're going to space? Literally. I mean, and I noticed that ever since like 5, all of the bad guys, like the antagonists of the movies, have now joined their crew. Everybody's joining their crew. Jason Statham, John Cena looks like he joined the crew. Like, you know, all the antagonists are joining their crew. It's like they're running out of people and they're like, well, he's a big name actor and we got him on a longer contract than we should have. So we'll keep Jason Statham. We'll keep John Cena.
I feel like Jason Statham hasn't really aged in like 20 years.
No. And same thing with Morgan Freeman. He looked like he was 20 until he was 40, and he looked like he was 80 and ever since he's been like 45.
Taking good care of himself.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back when he was 40 and he looked 80, everybody's like, oh, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
And now he's 80 and he looks 80, and everybody's like, all right.
That and The Power of Hair and Makeup.
Well, yeah.
The Power of Hair and Makeup can make you.
I'm trying to think if I've seen anything recently that's came out with Morgan Freeman.
He's kind of not done anything too recently. One of my favorite roles for him is, I mean, of course, like Shawshank Redemption. But
yeah,
he was even good in, like, you remember with Christian Bale, Batman?
That's right.
He was the scientist guy there that helps him with all the gadgets. But
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Was in every single movie.
I know. How old is – I feel like he's – we just had –
he's either 100 or 70.
We just had Betty White die like right after New Year's. So how old is he? He's 88. Oh, God. Please, Michael Caine, don't die.
Although Clint Eastwood's 92 or something like that. He just did Cry Macho. Yeah, he's like 91 or something.
It's funny because these guys, like, I mean, they're – especially Clint Eastwood. Like, he's – you know, he smokes, he drinks, like – or at least that's how he portrays himself in movies, like this heavy smoker, this heavy cowboy drinker. Yeah. Yeah, kind of this cowboy guy. Well, he's doing pretty good for a hard life of living if he does any of that.
Well, yeah. He directed and starred in a movie when he was 92 about, like, cowboys and stuff. The movie was fine, you know.
He's got good genes.
He must. It was weird for me because I had only ever seen like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and Dirty Harry. And in those, he's like 38 and like 45, but he looks like he's like 22 and, you know, 30 in those. Like, he looks younger than he is. So when I found out he was 92 and not like 82 or something, like he was 10 years older than I thought. It was really weird.
That just shows how much like how smart of a dude he was and how just like he's still like, I feel like when people get older, they kind of like start forgetting things or they're just not as sharp as like they used to be. But for being almost 92 and being able to help direct and produce and star in a movie, like, wow.
Yeah,
I hope I'm that still like sharp and like well put together at like 90.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's crazy to think that if he dies at Betty White's age, I will be 23, 24.
Wow. So Betty White's birthday was, I think, 2 days ago. She would have been 100. She died just before her 100th birthday. That's a long life. That's crazy.
That is crazy. So she was born in, what, 1922?
Mm-hmm.
So she has seen, what, Nazis and furries in the same lifetime?
Yeah.
That's kind of tough to comprehend.
She's seen a lot. Yeah, she's lived through a lot. That's, yeah. And she was entertainment. She was just like in showbiz for most of her adult life.
Yeah, the Golden Girls, that was her show, yeah.
I think it was like 2 days ago on her what was going to be her birthday. If you Googled Betty White, it was like a little drop down that says thank you for being a friend, and it was like a picture of Betty White
of
her birthday.
That's nice.
Yeah. Sad. Damn. Make me think about death, Sonny.
Mm.
Sad. I'm trying to think of any movies or anything that's coming out that I really want to see. The Batman movie or The Batman. It's called, yeah.
The Batman.
With Robert Pattinson. Yeah, that actually kind of looks good.
When does that come out? Like, let's see. Probably in like October or something.
I want to say March. Let's see. Release date.
March also sounds right.
Ooh, March 4th. Let's go.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah.
What comes out? Something happens. March 3rd. Oh, yeah, the UFC fight. Colby Covington, Masvidal.
Let's see. I'm going to look at movies coming out 2022. What's coming out soon? We got Morbius in April.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a Top Gun movie coming out pretty soon.
Oh, that's right. Also, Scream. It's out?
Yep, Scream is out. What else?
Certainly not as big as Halloween. Ooh.
So there's another Jurassic World movie. I'm trying to get the release date on this. Oh,
that's got to be like late 2022, 2023.
June 10th. So about the time you're finishing up your semester. You're a semester, right? You do semester?
Yep.
Okay.
It'll be right after I turn 16.
There's another Tom Holland movie, Uncharted. After that video game. Did you ever play
that? That's right. No, I haven't. But I remember it came pre-installed in my PS4.
But you know like what it is.
What it is. Yeah, okay. I got the gist of the game.
I don't know how well this is going to do. I feel like it's going to be a big flop. But
yeah,
I feel like most movies that take after video games usually don't do good.
No. Remember that Assassin's Creed movie?
I remember it coming out. I never saw it. Was it good?
Nope. Even with Michael Fassbender, couldn't save it.
Yeah.
Pixels was not good. The only one that really turned out pretty good was Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
That was even just the first one. And it wasn't based off of a real video game.
It wasn't based off a real one, but it incorporated
other
video games into it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It was like there a Super Mario movie or something?
There was. And there's a new one coming out with what's his name? Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's offensive to all Italians. We're starting a movement. He's not an Italian or a plumber.
Yeah, he's not.
Oh, there's I looked it up with my friend. I think in the near or in the distant future, there's rumored to be a Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Really?
Which was it's just a jump scare game, but it got really popular all of a sudden. I liked one video on social media,
and you get a bunch of
entire. So yeah, and me and my friend played it once. He made me download it, which is probably why I saw it in the first place on social media. It's kind of stupid.
It's like a timing thing, right? Like I think I've seen people
it's
play
like
it.
I don't know about the other ones because all the videos I see it's like the lore and it's like about kids getting murdered, which is kind of messed up. But from what I've played in the first one, it's just like basically a Chuck E. Cheese, and there's animatronics and they see you as a like exoskeleton. And they're like, hey, you're not in your suit, which is, like, not allowed. So they'll shove you into a suit, but that kills you for some reason. Which I always thought, I was like, why couldn't you just hollow out one of the suits? Because they're also meant to be worn, as the guy says.
Yeah.
It's like, I would just wear one. But you have, like, 6 hours, which in the game is, like, I think, like 9 minutes. And you just have to, like, make sure they don't kill you.
Or catch you or whatever, right?
Yeah, you're just in a room and you have limited power. You check cameras and you can turn on the lights next to you. And if you see them, then you close the doors. But the issue is you only have so much power.
Right. So there's strategy in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely gets
It's like critical thinking. Like you have to find a way to escape.
It's kind of like a roller coaster. It's like, you know, going up, you're like, and then like you go down, you're like, that wasn't so bad. It's kind of like that. It's like very suspenseful because you don't want to get jump scared. And then once you do, you're like, that was kind of stupid, which it is. And I looked it up and apparently it's rumored that Justin Bieber, Danny DeVito and Idris Elba and some other big actor, but I can't put my finger on it, will be in the Five Nights at Freddy's game.
Is there enough backstory to make a movie on this?
There's a lot of backstory.
Really?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Because like from the outside looking in, it just seems like a jump scare game. Which
I think a lot of the backstory came from like Reddit and stuff, but kind of okay. People – it's – I will look it up. It's a lot of – it's a lot of backstory. It's like – I'll give you the brief because I watch a YouTube video of it because I want to get clued in on all the TikTok videos. I'll give you a brief explanation of what it is. Basically, there's these two dudes. They grow up. They make a pizzeria. They have animatronics. There's this one dude who's really smart, and he makes animatronics. And then he kills kids for some reason, and he puts them in the animatronic suits. He has three kids and a wife, and he makes an animatronic that, like, will, if they see a kid alone, kind of, like, kill it. And that happened to his daughter, so he got really mad, and then he's like a genius. He's able to make devices. So he made a device that would give his youngest kid nightmares about the animatronics, which became its own game. And his oldest son knew that his kid, his youngest brother, was scared of animatronics. So he put like he
this like, is all the backstory?
This is all the backstory. Yeah, it's just a lot of kids getting murdered, which is like super screwed up.
But in the actual like game itself, did they give you any of this?
The kid having nightmares is one of the games.
Okay. So there is that.
Yeah. But what happens is that the suits get wet at all. They look kind of like
– Yeah. Nightmarish.
If the suits get wet or the animatronics get wet, they'll go into their initial position so they lock up.
Got it.
And so they wanted to scare this little kid, so they put his head – inside of the mouth of one of them, and his tears got it wet and it locked up and it crushed his head and killed him.
So the main one, I think he's like the bear.
Yeah, that's
or whatever the character is.
Yeah. So then the oldest son goes and like looks for his mom or something who got killed by William Afton, who's the owner, the genius that kind of inadvertently killed all his kids. And then he gets killed by the animatronics because the kids that got killed went to the spirits of the animatronics. And then Afton, who's, you know, the main dude, sees the spirits or something, and then he puts on one of the suits, spring trap, and then that kills him, and then he comes back and he lives at spring trap, and then now all of the other animatronics who are now alive because of the spirits of all the kids he's killed are now trying to kill him, but he always comes back, which was like his big thing. I will admit, I have seen videos of it, and the Afton character, the main character, is probably – he's going to be a cool character if they do him right, I think. I did some – you know, I've only played the first one, but I've watched some of the videos of the other games, and I think if they do that character right, like if they get a good actor, I mean like a Benedict Cumberbatch or something to play him, they can probably do a good character, but it'll most likely just be bad. I don't know why Danny DeVito's in it. I don't know who he's going to play.
He'd probably be like a side character. But I feel like this movie's going to be – I mean the game is, I feel like, very reliant on jump scares. So I feel like the movie's going to be a bunch of jump scares.
Yeah. The storyline is really gruesome though. It's just kids game murders left and right. But
– interesting.
You know, we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's some – how did Sonic do? Sonic's based off a video game. I feel like that did okay.
Oh, yeah.
That did all right.
I think there's a – conspiracy I never saw theory. It's fine. That you know how they originally did Sonic's character and then everybody hated it? And then there's a theory that they did that intentionally. Image. Yeah.
Oh, like a hype thing?
Yeah, so that people would get mad about it and then they'd redo it. Because the first one, have you seen the initial look? It's awful. It's like, why would you ever do Sonic like that in your right mind? Like, that's ridiculous.
Oh, see, before and after. I remember that it looked really... Like, his nose looked really weird. He had, like, a small nose. And then they made him... Like, his eyes were not the right size, and they just made him more cartoony.
It was all awful.
Yeah, it was really bad. Like, people were, like, on Reddit. I remember, like... upset, and there's like a petition to change it and to edit it back, and it was like a big old thing. But
yeah, and then Jim Carrey did save the movie.
Yeah, he's good for comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that's it, Sonny. Anything else that we left out?
No.
All right, man. Good luck to your Rams.
Good luck to your Packers.
Thank you. Hopefully both our teams win. If they do, I think they'll play each other.
They will.
We'll see how it goes, but guys, thanks for listening, and Sonny, what's this all been?
Just waste my time.